All right, well, go ahead and say a word of prayer, and then we'll jump into the lesson on today. Okay, Father Yah, we just honor your name and we bless you for just your presence. And right now we seek wisdom and understanding on today, and we bless you in advance for it. And we thank you for all things. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. All righty. We're continuing on with that series of lessons that we've been, you know, doing, just going through the scriptures. And what I'm going to do is to give you examples of why it's so important to retain this information, because as we're going through the scriptures, there'll be things that will you'll be reminded of, and I just can't I can't say that enough. It's just vitally important to, you know, to take our time and retain the information and just do it step by step in order to understand, you know, all right, to divide the word of truth the way that Yah intended for us to do it. And so, you know, it's just things that again, it's just important for us to retain the information. And so I'm gonna look and give you an example of this, because a lot of times people will say that how do I make that turn you here? Yeah, it's doing it. And so a lot of times people will say, especially when it comes down to the Ten Commandments, use this for an example, people will say, okay, because Moses, wrote the law, then, you know, they think that Moses wrote the Ten Commandments. And then when Moses came down and saw the state of our nation, that we had already started to rebel against Yah, then Moses broke the two tablets of stone, and then he went up into the mountain again, and Yah dealt with him, and the Ten Commandments were rewritten. Well, most people think because of not following these laws of how to understand the scriptures, most people think that Moses wrote the Ten Commandments the second time. And we'll take a look at that, and then we'll go continue on with our lesson. I'm just going to try to give you examples of why it's important to retain the information, and why it's important to make sure that we're reading and understanding what we're reading. And I'm going to say it again, we have to retain the information, because if we don't, certain things will be said, and because we didn't retain the previous information, we'll come to certain conclusions, because where our focus now is on what we're reading at that specific time. That's where the confusion comes in a lot of cases. It's not that, you know, a lot of preachers are trying to mislead people on purpose. It's just that because they're not retaining the information, and they're only trying to get a revelation of the word apart from the word, then when they look at a specific scripture, they'll come to their own conclusion of what that is saying, instead of allowing the scripture to interpret itself. I had an encounter with an individual on last night, and I was tagged in a post, and And you know, the Post said some things, and scriptures were used. But then the individual gave his personal interpretation of what the scripture says, and he was grossly misrepresenting what the Bible was actually saying. And so when I made the correction, here's the gauge that you have to understand. When you make the correction, or when you operate or teach, I'll say it that way, when you teach or expound on the scriptures, precept upon precept, line upon line, like we're doing, you leave no room for error. Because no one can dispute the scriptures, but they can dispute you. And so to keep them from disputing you is you have to have knowledge of the scriptures to put you in position where there is no dispute. And the way that you know that there is no dispute is when you lay that information out and the individual starts to attack you. Every time I've ever responded with the scriptures or dealt with the scriptures, when it come down to anybody who was teaching something that was false, when I laid the information out, their next response was to attack me personally. That's a deflection. That's a straw man fallacy. And basically, in a nutshell, what a straw man fallacy is to try to get you into an argument that you never presented. And so if I say that the sun is shining, then, you know, well, I'll back up. I'll say, if I say to you, it's a beautiful day because the sun is shining, then you turn around and come back and say, what? So are you saying that rainy days are not beautiful days? See, you're bringing up an argument that I had nothing to do with. And now, if I'm foolish, I'm spending my time trying to explain to you your argument about something I never brought up by saying, no, you know, rain is good too, and stuff like that. No, I don't get in them kind of arguments. Whenever, or debates, however way you want to put it, whenever somebody go off subject, I never go off subject with them. I just put straw man fallacy. And I know majority of them don't know what it is, so they have to go look it up, you know. And so that's how you gauge when you know that you've laid out the precepts correctly according to the leading of the Spirit of Yah, is when the individual have no place to go but to attack your character. And 9 times out of 10, they don't even know who you are. And so when I see that or hear that, I just kind of start laughing, because I'll be like, okay, yep, you have nothing, so I can leave you alone at this point. Now, the law, you know, the commandments is the law. And so every word, as we look at to the right of the screen, from Genesis already to Revelation, is the law, statutes, and judgments of Yah in one fashion or another. We know the first 5 books is the law of Moses, but every word is the commandment of Yah, where he inspired all these men to write these scriptures, okay? And so, looking at a portion of the law where I like to discuss as we're coming into understanding of things as far as the law is concerned, and no one can dispute it. I use these verses in order to prove this here. Galatians 5 verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now, when you look at the fruit here, it says literal or from a figuratively perspective, but it says the pluck, it says the seeds, you keep going back, it starts giving you, it says to prefer, choose some of the forms of borrowing from, to take oneself. I just like to go up, keep going back. It says to lift up, to take up away, keep in suspense the mind. So it starts dealing with the exposing the true meaning of what the fruit is, the fruit of the Spirit of Yah. And so we understand that the Spirit is the Ruach in the Hebrew language here. And I'm just pulling up things just to show you we've dealt with this. And so we have to follow the concept of what the Spirit is in Galatians 5. I can get out of this. I don't need that. In Galatians 5, where it says the fruit of the Spirit, we don't have to try to figure it out, because Yah taught us what the Spirit is in Genesis 1, verse 2. So I don't get over to Galatians 5 and then start creating something else in my mind. Now, if you notice, as I start dealing with those definitions, I start going back, and then it dealt with a certain perspective as far as the mind is concerned. Now, I'm going to do it again just so that you will see what I'm talking about. You know, we can take our time. So as you look at it, it says, the fruit of the Spirit, it says pneuma, which is the breath. Okay, pneuma, breath. We understand the Spirit, the pneuma, the breath of Yah. Okay, the breath of Yah is the source by which our minds are influenced. And so you see the same thing. The definition doesn't change when the fruit is first mentioned. Okay. So you look at the fruit of the Spirit, and Galatians 5 verse 22, it says pneuma. And then when you look at the Spirit in Genesis 1 verse 2, it says ruach. So you look at ruach here in the Hebrew, and then over here you're looking at pneuma. But as you look at it, this is Greek now. This is a Greek translation. Okay? And so as you look at the Greek translation, and then when you look at the Hebrew translation, as far as the Old Testament is concerned, you see the Old Testament says wind. You see over in the New Testament, it says a current of air. Wind, same thing. So this is the same thing as here. So the Spirit of Yah is the breath of Yah. Spirit of Yah is not the third person of the Godhead. It's not a whole person sitting somewhere that is a spirit. It is the wind of Yah, the breath of Yah. When I speak, you are experiencing or hearing the Spirit of me that has been inspired by the Ruach, the Spirit of Yah. So it is Yah's mind now sliding in on my mind, and now you are experiencing the Ruach, or the Spirit of Yah, that has inspired me to cause me now to speak by the Spirit. Okay? And so we see the association with that, but to prove the law and why it's important for us to stay within the law of the fruit of the Spirit, it says it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Here's why now. Against such there is no law. Now, when we look at the word law, okay, when we look at the word law, it says it says to parcel out. It's talking about food, but let's go down to where it really means. It says regulation, a principle. See it? In other words, when we teach now, when we operate, but I'm specifically dealing with teaching now, when we teach by the Spirit, then these attributes, mental dispositions, is on display. And everything about someone who teaches by the Spirit is designed to deal with things in these characteristics of the spirit, the fruit of the spirit. But the most important part is when we do it, there is no principle that can go against it. If you teach the scriptures the way that the Bible intended, or the way that Yah intended for us to understand it, there is no principle that can come against it. And so that's why I mentioned that every time I lay things out, then the individual come back to try to attack my character from that point on. But there is no law that can come against. There is no principle that they can lay out against it, because the evidence has been laid. And so people may see that individual attacking, but then at the same time, people are going to be looking at what I said and going to be like, wait a minute, he laid this out, but the individual never responded to what was laid out. And now this individual is attacking the person who laid out this information and made it crystal clear. So now the establishment has been set where they now understand the difference between that which is wrong and that which is right. Because anything that is about right is going to operate in the freedom of the spirit. They're going to have temperance, self-control. So if an individual started attacking my character for teaching the truth, or attack your character for teaching the truth, then they lack temperance. There's no fruit of the spirit operating in their life. And you can't have some of them. You got to have all of them. I hear people be telling me, ooh, I got love, but I just got to work on my gentleness. Well, you don't have the fruit. It's one fruit, single. It ain't no whole bunch of fruits. Love is not a fruit. Joy is not a fruit. All of them together makes one fruit. Just kind of, you know, bring that clear. So when you look at it, it says the fruit, it says fruit. And you don't see no plural. Fruit. To seize, to catch, is a fruit. All of it makes it the fruit of the spirit. And so, you know, y'all like, I ain't going to have you operating in one and you can't operate in the hood if I'm leading you. When I'm leading you, you operating in all this him. Okay, so there is no law. Now, I'm going to give you an example of why it's important to make sure that we're doing this like we should now. And then we'll move further into the lesson. For understanding. Now, let's see where I want to go here. To show you an example of this. Okay. Remember the example that I used was there's a lack of understanding about who wrote the Ten Commandments the second time, or even the first time. Some people think that Moses did it, and so let's look at Exodus 34, and we'll kind of look at this. We'll look at this just as an example, and I'm gonna do one every time we do a lesson from now on, just to show you. Then we'll continue on with Sodom. Okay. When we look at Exodus 34, we'll go down to verse, let me see, 20. I'm trying to find the exact scripture. We'll come back to this one. Let me see. I want to make sure I'm on the right one first. So y'all give me a minute. That's what happens when you don't know where you're going and y'all just take you. Let me see. Yeah, I was there already, man. I just now, when you look at Exodus 34, we'll look at verse 28 first, and then we'll move back up to understand this. And I want to show you, and if this is all we end up doing today, instead of getting on Sodom, that's what we're going to do, because it's vitally important for us to understand this. And you need to retain this information. I'm going to show you why it's so important to retain it. Now, as you look at verse 28, it says, I'm going to start at verse 27. How about that? It said, Yah said unto Moses, write thou these words. Yeah, this is one. And Yah said unto Moses, write thou these words. For after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. Yeah, this is it. And he was there with Yah. We know he is Moses. Was there with Yah 40 days and 40 nights. And he did neither eat bread or drink water. So he was on a total fast. No bread and water, no food and water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now, because people don't, I'm not going to say don't study, because I think people do study, but because people don't retain the information, when you look at verse 27, I'll read it again, and then I'll reveal more information. Verse 27 again saying, Yah said unto Moses, Yah is speaking to Moses, write thou these words. So we know Moses writing words. It says, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words have I made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there, Moses was there with Yah 40 days and 40 nights. And he did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote up on the tables the word of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now, if you haven't studied properly, I'm making it personal. I'm not going to say we this time, because I have studied properly. So I got to make it personal with you. You know, every time when I preach message, I say we, because we all included. But I'll say if we don't do this properly, including myself, we'll make the same mistake. But since I studied properly, I'm able to see these things and to point them out. Now, when you look at verse 27 and 28, because Yah tells Moses to write these words in verse 27, and then you see verse 28, and he wrote up on the tables the word of the covenant of the Ten Commandments, your mind would tell you that Moses wrote the Ten Commandments. All right? Your mind would tell you that, because you're only retaining the information in the verse that you're looking at. But before you get to verse 27 and 28, there's information that has to be retained. And when you get to verse 27 and 28, because you retain the information, then verse 27 and 28 will be simple to understand, and it won't confuse you at all when you get to verse 27 and 28. Okay? Now, with that in mind, I'll show you how to see this. Now, I'm going to pull up other Bibles here, and we'll walk it and understand it fully. And like I said, this may be all that we'll deal with. Yah's in control here. So now you go to, okay, now remember, this is chapter 34, and so there are other chapters that we should be studying if we're studying precept upon precept, line upon line. So we're studying other chapters, and when we get to chapter 34, verse 27 and 28 is simple if we retain the information. Okay? Now, Exodus 31, verse 18 says, let's go back to 17. I'll stick with verse 18, because verse 16 and 17 is talking about some things, but that's not what I want to discuss at this point. It says, and he gave unto Moses, we know that he is Yah. And Yah gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him, Moses, upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stones, written with what? The finger of God. Now, if we're studying correctly, that information is retained. Who wrote it the first time? Yah did. Bible says it was written with the finger of Yah. Yah, his personal signature. So Yah wrote up on the tables. Okay? He wrote up on the tables of stone. It was a table of testimony. Alright? Now, as we continue to move through the scriptures, we go to 32, we'll look at verse 16. It says, and the tables were the work of Yah, and the writing was the writing of Yah, graven upon the tables. Let's go back. We're going to take our time. Walk this. Chapter 31. Let you look at it side by side. That's why I like this Bible thing here. I can pull it up and we can just look at side by side. 31:18. And he, Yah, gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of Yah. And the tables were the work of Yah. Written. This is his work. And the writing was the writing of Yah, his finger. Graven upon the tables, tables of stone. So now we move from chapter 31. Verse 18 to chapter 32, verse 16. And we're seeing precept upon precept, line upon line. And we know without a doubt who wrote the Ten Commandments. Yah did it. And Yah wrote it up on two tables of stone. We got that information. It is... It is concrete information. We know now, without a doubt, who wrote the Ten Commandments. Okay? So just for the sake of conversation, not all scripture. All scripture is inspired by Yah, because Yah is the source. But Yah wrote the Ten Commandments himself. Alright? Now, we'll continue to move through the scriptures in order to understand this. Now, I have all three books beside one another. We move over to chapter 34. Chapter 34 says, and Yah said unto Moses, verse 27, and Yah said unto Moses, write thou these words. A person who doesn't understand the scripture starts to say, wait a minute, there's a contradictory here. That's why you get people who are always saying, man, the Bible is contradict itself. That's why that stuff not true. No, it's by every word is true. It's just that if it's not led by the Spirit, they don't know how to see it. If the Ruach is not influencing our mental disposition, we don't know how to see what the Scripture is saying. It's simple when we know how to see. Okay? Verse 27, to the right of the screen, Exodus 34. It's saying, Yah said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words have I made a covenant with thee and with Israel. There's a lot of information in verse 27. Well, Yah is saying to Moses in verse 27 because we understand, according to Exodus 31, verse 18, and according to Exodus 32, verse 16, Yah is the personal writer of the Ten Commandments. So since Yah is the personal writer of the Ten Commandments, then he's saying something to Moses in Exodus 34 that we should be able to understand now based upon chapter 31 and 32. So he says again, and Yah said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with Yah 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote up on the table, the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now, when you look at verse 28 is talking about, two writers at this point. Moses is writing something that Yah tells him to write. Write thou these words, Moses. Moses, write thou these words. So we know Moses is writing something. But when you get to verse 27, it said, and he wrote up on the tables. And he wrote up on the tables, the words of the Ten Commandments. We know this is not Moses. Because chapter 31, verse 18, said Yah did it. Chapter 32, verse 16, says Yah did it. So that period now ends Moses. What was instructed to Moses? Moses, write these words for after the tenor. What tenor? Ten Commandments. That's some words I wrote, but you write after what I wrote. Moses didn't write the Ten Commandments. Yah gave him other writings. That's why the first five books of the Bible are called the Law of Moses. Moses wrote them. So Yah says, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, the Ten Commandments, I have made a covenant. So there, I'm going to give you laws, Leviticus 11, to add to the tenor of the Ten Commandments. Write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, the Ten Commandments, I have made a covenant with Israel. So every law that we see that's in the law of Moses are laws that he's given to us that falls under the umbrella of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is the foundation. The Ten Commandments is the umbrella by which every law falls up under. That's what he's saying. Write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with Yah 40 days and 40 nights, writing those words. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he, Yah, wrote up on the tables of the word of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. How do I know that? Because Exodus 31 says it. Exodus 31, 18 says it. Exodus 32, 16 says it. So when I get over here, I'm not getting confused. So you want me to show you the words that Moses was writing or started out writing? You go back up to verse 1. And Yah said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, because remember Moses broke them. And I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first table which thou breakest. Yah wrote them both times. So you can look at chapter 31, 18, chapter 32, 16, chapter 34, verse 1. It ain't no doubt when you get to verse 28, you know what's being talked about. Now, as you look at verse 1, Yah points out that he is still a writer. And then it says, and be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. And he, Moses, hewed two tables of stones like unto the first, like Yah told him to do. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai, as Yah had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And Yah descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of Yah. Yah encountered men face to face. And Yah passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, or the Most High is Yah, God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundance in goodness and in truth. All these are fruits. Remember, Galatians 5. Keeping mercy. What is that? What is mercy? Every time you see mercy from now on, okay. Repenting. Keeping mercy for a thousand, forgiving iniquity. His mercy is what does it. We ain't going to Yah say you need to repent. You need change. Yah change is not. So when you read mercy, you now should register. Or when you read repent, it now should register mercy. Same definition. So I don't know why they put repent in there. They should have put mercy. It makes it clearer. Put the word repent, people think that Yah now is on the same level as we are, and because we repent means to change, then we think we can make Yah change. No, he's God. There is no other. You don't have to change. Okay? Keeping mercy for thousands, and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. His mercy is what does that. So when Yah repent, anytime he repents, when it's association with sin, we understand that is his mercy. I can't pound that in enough. And that will by no means clear the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. Yah said, if you're going to do like your father, then you don't get the same results as your father. If you operate in the same iniquity your father operated in, you're going to get the same results. Verse 8. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Yah, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people. Yes, we are, to this very day. And pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And he said, behold, I make a covenant. Y'all see this? And he said, behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people. So let me just jump ahead of myself. When you look at verse 9, 1 through verse 9, verse 1 through 9, then what Yah says in verse 10, leading down to verse 27, is the tenor. Moses is writing down. What Yah is telling him after he gives him the Ten Commandments. So you get to verse 10, this is what Moses is writing down in that mountain. And Yah said, behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such as have not been. That's why we're reading it, y'all. Moses writing it. As have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, in all the people among which thou art shall see the work of Yah, for it is a terrible thing I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorites, and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Take heed thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest. Lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. You know, those statue things that you see, totem poles and things like that, things on that order. For thou shalt worship no other god. For Yah, whose name is jealous, is a jealous Yah. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a whoring after their gods. That's what we did. And do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a whoring after their gods, and make thy sons to go a whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten image. The feast of unleavened bread shall thou keep. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread. Passover. As I commanded thee in the time of the month of Abib. Exodus 12. For the month of Abib thou camest out of Egypt. Abib is our first month of the year. It's around April. That's when it's a new year for us as a people. And all Yah says, go there. So I can get out of these here. I'm going to take you to Exodus 12 and just show you this here. How about that? We're just going to take our time. Now, and Yah said unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So January is not the first month to Israel, us as a nation of people. It's around your April months, give or take. Sometime it rolls around the end of March, but it's around your April month. So you look at that, that's the first month for us. And so that's why when you look at when people try to do timelines and things like that, as far as certain things Yah is going to do, they're off. And the reason why they're off is because they're going by the Gregorian calendar instead of going by our Hebrew calendar. First month of our year is I'm just going to stick just with say April, around April. So when you look at man's calendar, what we 8 months in? And we look at man's calendar, we 8 months, almost 9 months into the year. But when you look at ours, what is it? Half of that? Four. There's only 4 months going in our year. So that's how we understand these things as far as the scriptures are concerned. And so as we're reading these, I'll get out of here. And so as we're reading this, this is how we start to see and to understand the truth. Which verse did I stop on? No, I'm in the wrong book. 34. Yah makes the covenant. He talks about the Hittites. He talks about breaking the altar and the gods. We dealt with that. The daughters. He says, thou shalt make thee no molten image. Oh, that's where we were. When we was dealing with the Passover, the first month, which is Abib. And then it says, all that cometh, openeth the matrix is mine. And every firstling among the cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male. And the firstlings of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And he's given these instructions according to the law. 6 days thou shalt work, but the seventh day thou shalt rest. Where this is a Sabbath. Rest. That's what Sabbath means. Rest. It says, in earing time and in harvest time thou shalt rest. No matter, on the Sabbath you rest. And thou shalt observe the Feast of Weeks. You're supposed to do this as a nation. The first fruit of the wheat harvest. And the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before Yah, the God of Israel. Now we know there are certain things we can't do because we're not in our homeland. For I will cast out the nation before thee and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up to appear before Yah, thrice in the year. He's giving instruction. Moses writing these things down. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven. Neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left unto morning. Exodus 12. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring unto the house of Yah thy God. Bring Yah the tithe into the storehouse. Malachi 3. See, everything started making sense now. When we go precept upon precept, line upon line, and we see what Yah is instructing our nation to do, and when we get in other books, we're not confused because the information is already there. Y'all not going to tell us this stuff just in detail all over again, because he's saying you should retain the information. You got to know what's going on. Thou shalt not see a kid in his mother's milk. And Yah said unto Moses, write thou these words, all we just read. Yah wrote the Ten Commandments, and Moses wrote what we just read. Write thou these words that I just said, 10 through 26. After the tenor of these words, the Ten Commandments, the words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. So when you look at the Ten Commandments and all these, or under the umbrella of it, that is the commandments. That's the laws of Yah. Yah wrote the Ten Commandments. Moses wrote the rest of it. So you understand it. Yah said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there. Moses was there 40 days and 40 nights, writing the tenor of the words. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he, Yah, wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. That's how you understand the scripture. But when you get people that just go to verse 20, 28 and try to preach it, 27 and 28 and try to preach it without understanding chapter 31, chapter 32, and going all the way up to verse 1 in chapter 31, they're preaching a whole nother doctrine. And that's what Yah is teaching us not to do. He's teaching us not to teach other doctrines, but he's teaching us to teach his word the way that he intended for it to be understood. And that's why we take our time and do it the way that we do, and we deal with the definitions and the words, different words, and we look at books and make sure it all lined up the way that it's supposed to. And so looking at chapter 31, chapter 32, and chapter 34, that's why it's important to take our time and to read these words and to make sure that we're understanding. We're understanding. Take notes. Man, my Bible looks like a road map. I'm writing there all the scriptures. I put, like, if you look at my Bible in chapter 34, I got chapter 31 and chapter 2 written on the pages of Exodus 34. Exodus 31, I got chapter 32 and 34 written there. Chapter 32, I got 31 and 34 written there, showing that these precepts are connected, so I don't get confused. So when you understand something, take note of it. Take note of it. If you don't like writing in your Bible, then get you something that you're going to keep up with where you can go back and refer to it and take note of it. You know, Deanna got 100 pads or more. Well, she take notes of stuff. Got notebook pads of information. And so, that's her way of doing it. But you pick out what works best for you. What works best to me is when I'm using my Bible, I want to be able to look at that right then. And so I write them in all in the pages and all I'm everywhere. Sometimes I can't have read the words because I wrote so much on it. But that's those are things that you have to do to retain that information. Once you come into that understanding, retain it. If you can't just memorize it, write it down in places that's going to cause you to remember it every time you go there. That's why I put it in my Bible. So every time I go there, oh, I remember 31. Oh, I remember 32. Chapter 31, chapter 32. Oh, I remember verse 1. Then when you get over to Malachi, when you get over to Zechariah, and things come across you again, you be like, oh, yeah, I remember that. That said that right here. Retain that information. Especially when you come into something that you didn't understand before, write that information down. I didn't get that before. I got to make sure I retain it. I didn't see it the first time. I may forget it the second time. So let me put it right here to remind me. Now we're following the commandments of Yah that says, attend to the word, incline thine ear unto his saying, let it not depart from thine eyes, keep it in the midst of thine heart, for it's life unto the, us that find health to our flesh. That's why we do it that way. And so I'll continue to show you these things, and we're just going to keep growing and learning and just take our time and understand this correctly, okay? Alrighty, I'm gonna just go ahead and stop here. I was going to go into Sodom and Gomorrah, but it's no need for me to do it. There's no need for me to do it because I think this is a lesson that that you can think on and just, I don't want to share something else with you and you not retain what I'm saying. Now I want you to meditate on what we just discussed. To say, okay, that's how I got to see the scriptures from now on. Settle down, boy. Lightning pop. Y'all just finna get up out of here. Alrighty, y'all. That's all I have. Y'all remember, retain this information. It's very important. So let's pray. And then we'll go ahead and close. Father, y'all, we just bless your name on today, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for bringing us into understanding of it again. We see that you laid these things out to us and made it clear. If we just follow the process by which you laid out for us to understand. And we just bless you for that. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.